Hey guys, it's Demora.
And with Danielle.
And welcome back to Tea with Double D, where we talk everything life, love, and today, dating versus talking.
Yes. So, so you guys don't miss out on any new episodes. Don't forget to subscribe to our Apple Podcast, Spotify, and SoundCloud. Okay? And that's Tea with / Double D.
Yes. But first order of business, as always, drinks. And we have to say, we have a guest today, so we're going to let her tell us what she's drinking.
Yes.
What's your tea of the day?
Teavana Classic Chai.
Yes. Ooh, I love that.
A little caffeine for the morning.
Teavana is classic, though. That is
classic.
I feel like it's potent. I think that's the most potent tea I've ever had.
Yeah, it is.
In my
really?
Life. Yes. Because I used to go for David's tea, but it just tastes like water.
Yeah.
But like Teavana is very...
It is very
rich.
Pungent. It depends on the type of tea that you have, though. Yeah. It depends. Like black tea will be really strong, green tea probably. But if you get, like, a white tea, it'll be kind of light, I think.
I don't know. I guess I go in there and I'm like, wow, this pumpkin spice really hits my insides.
Oh, yeah.
And Danielle is an outlier. She sucks. She's drinking coffee.
Yes. Sorry, guys.
She's off-brand. Our guest actually respects me, so...
Wow. Oh, wow.
I'll say that much.
I'll be better next time.
Yeah, and I went for, like, a tea forte, which is, like, my little obsession now. Cherry blossom.
Okay, how is it?
Classic.
It tastes like the earth. I don't know.
Does it taste like you're drinking a flower?
No. I don't know. It's giving me very earthy vibes, so I don't know.
Like herbs, like a bunch of
herbs. Yes.
Okay. All right.
Which tea basically
herbs.
Is.
I like, mean, yeah, it's herbs. But it's cherry blossom. It should taste like
a little sweeter.
It smells like flowers, though.
That's good.
Okay. Well, that's my point.
Okay. I'm going to stop sipping my tea. But like, we like to jump into our obsessions of the week. So what is your obsession of the week, Katie?
My obsession of the week. Probably Dunkin' Donuts. I've been binging that all week. Not binging. What am I saying? I've been drinking Dunkin' Donuts all week instead of making my own coffee and trying to save money.
See,
and
that's exactly
that's
what I did today.
That's what she's drinking right now.
Dunkin'?
Yes.
What's your order?
Oh, just about to ask you that. My order is an iced macchiato. No syrup, just with a Splenda and almond milk.
Okay. I feel like, the macchiatos are too milky for me. If I'm drinking coffee,
gotcha.
It's gotta be coffee. You know what I mean?
She likes the tough stuff.
I like it because it's espresso. That's the thing. Okay. Coffee and me were like, okay. Like, I'll get like a little buzzed off of coffee, but I'm so used to coffee. Espresso is literally the only thing I can drink outside of the house. If I make it at home, it's a little different.
Mm-hmm.
But but outside, I need macchiato. I need like real caffeine. What about you? Yeah. What's your usual order when you go there?
My usual is, it's funny because I was just saying your stuff is too sweet, but mine is usually coffee, iced coffee with French vanilla syrup, but very light, and then creamer, but no sugar. But today I got a cold brew with just a little bit of creamer because I was like, I need some energy.
That sounds amazing, actually. I gotta try. Is there cold brew good? I gotta try that one day.
Their cold brew is very, very good, but it's very strong. So it's an acquired taste, but it will get you hyped.
Okay. I know what's next for me.
I feel so left out. I don't drink coffee. I tried.
It's a whole other world.
It's
language.
Another world. I'll let you guys have that one, though.
It has to be a little less strong, like strong in the sense of taste.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I would recommend iced coffee if you're ever going to drink coffee.
Yes.
Okay.
Not
I'll
like,
try it.
Don't go for espresso if you're trying out coffee.
Oh, okay. I have done that. I'll be honest. Like, I'm not a coffee drinker because of my stomach just doesn't handle it well.
Mm-hmm.
However, I think I had I went to Starbucks and I had those frozen chai things. No, the frozen drinks.
Frappuccino?
There you go. I had a frappuccino with two shots of espresso for finals week.
What?
And I thought, you know, I've never drank coffee before.
Oh, my God.
So I was like, yeah, the two shots of espresso, maybe my stomach can handle this a little bit more. And that was the worst thing I could have done.
Yeah.
I needed to study.
Oh.
There wasn't much studying happening.
That sounds terrible.
Danielle, what's your obsession?
My obsession this week is, as I had said in the live, that it is crocheting at the moment because I have a new found love for it. I started doing it in college, took a very long break, and now I'm like, oh my God, now I'm so obsessed again. I bought yarn, I bought needles.
Yes.
I'm going nuts.
How did you teach yourself? Did you teach yourself or did you go on YouTube?
YouTube. Me and my friends, one day, were just like, let's all learn how to crochet. It was like six of us. We just sat in front of the...
How old are you guys?
Yeah, we were like 20, 20-ish.
Okay. Sorry.
And all of us were just like, let's do this. And so we learned through YouTube. My first scarf looked atrocious.
Yeah.
But...
True. We'll see. I got yarn too, so I don't know if it'll ever
We'll see how
happen.
Long this lasts. Usually people last about 4 days and they go, oh yeah, that's right, I'm doing something.
My mom started crocheting and she got into the new habit of crocheting little baby sweaters. And she's like, oh, I can't wait till you guys have kids. And we're like, mom, calm down.
Really?
No one's even dating anyone right now.
So oh my God.
We're far away from that.
Oh my God.
Oh my
that
God. My
me.
Aunt does that to me too, where she's just like, you know, I want grandkids. I'm like, you need to do first.
Exactly, that's true. There was important times she was literally just like, just find some random guy. And
she was looking at me. I'm
child,
23.
It's fine.
I know why she looks like you, but like, at me, I'm like, ooh.
I don't think that matters.
Oh, man.
Whatever.
But what is your obsession of the week, miss thing?
What is my obsession? Wow, I should have thought about this while you guys were all talking.
Oh my gosh.
What have I been obsessed with? I can't say Love Island anymore because
no,
I don't watch it.
We don't watch it anymore.
Harry Potter has hit a lull.
Yes.
Oh.
I've been kind of like, I'll say semi-obsessed with psychoanalyzing people.
Okay.
Oh, I love that.
She's like, yeah, say more.
I don't know why, but like, with this free time I'm having, I just kind of been watching people move and just trying to understand, why are you the way you are?
Okay.
Yeah, it's fun to kind of dive in deep to a person's mind and just watch them and observe. I'm more of an observer, so I just love observing people. And when they don't think I notice something, I'm like, I noticed it, and I'm going to bring that up in about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they like they think they have it all covered up.
No.
Right, no.
We're just waiting for you to be ready. It's
for
cool.
Sure.
But I know there's a voice on the
yes.
podcast that's been chatting with us. But we'd like to finally formally introduce our guest.
Yes.
This is Katie.
Yes.
And
hello.
She is phenomenally funny.
Yes.
Actually, she's hilarious.
Oh my God.
And you are
cracking me up.
I came
on TikTok.
Across TikTok.
Son.
Whenever you're like my mind,
my brain,
lady
part, my
parts, I'm
my
like
heart.
Yes, this is the internal struggle that someone has now just visualized for me. And
it's amazing.
I came across her TikTok. I think 2 weeks ago, and I'm like, yes, you're right, like this is all correct. But it was actually the TikTok you did about dating versus talking that really just made my brain go, because sometimes that just happens.
That is true.
Once I get a thought in my head, it just goes so far. And it's
and the funny thing is, she had saw it like a couple days prior
yes.
to me. Then she didn't show it to me yet, but then a couple days later I see the talking versus dating your video and I'm just like, oh my God, this is hilarious. I love
she
everything
sent it to
and
me.
I send it to her. I was like, we need to talk to her.
Yes. And well,
it's so
funny. No, go ahead, I'm sorry.
It's so funny because I don't know, I was just in a mood, you know, when you just wake up and you just got a vent. And
yes.
So some people write in a journal and I was like, no, I'm gonna record myself and whatever happens happens. So I recorded it.
Yeah.
And then I sent it, and then some people were like, but why is she so mad, why is she yelling? And I'm like, dang, I really didn't mean to. Just venting.
No, I understood.
I
the vent
that.
No, I understood
it. I was
it,
sitting
though.
Here.
I was,
I was
like, yes.
here with you. Like, I didn't even know dating and talking was a different thing.
Same.
You know what I mean? Like, I was just.
Sort of.
I didn't know it was different. I was just like, okay, you're talking, you're dating. Which one? Like, I feel like it's just kind of. I thought it was one thing. I never differentiated it
Me
at
too.
All.
Okay.
And I saw your video after I saw a post on Instagram that outlined it. And I screenshotted it for this conversation just so I could tell you what someone in the world has said based off their societal understanding what talking, dating, and all that stuff is.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We'll read it.
So it said, please be advised, because apparently people just can't swallow things. And then I was like, okay. It said, talking. Talking means we've exchanged numbers, do things on a friendship level, and maybe, in air quotes, even had sex. Testing the waters to see if it's a growing interest. And I said,
Interesting.
Okay. And then dating. We're spending time together, doing various activities, movies, bowling, concerts, dinner, as friends. With a mutual interest in each other, but we are still allowed to talk to other people.
Right.
Then there's dating exclusively, where we are dating, however we've cut off all other people we're interested in to focus on getting to know each other better. And then relationship. We've made a mutual agreement to become a couple. It's just you and me, point blank, period. And I sat here and I was like, wait, the sex part? Did we become friends after we've had sex? I was a little confused. And I was like, this sounded like a lot of steps.
Yeah.
To just say you're actively getting to know someone and that you might want to pursue a relationship with them.
Right.
And I was like, you know, I feel like we should now define, because this is what this person said. So I was like, okay, let's really define what is dating, what's talking, what's a relationship. Because I feel like talking has become dating, dating has become a relationship, and a relationship has become equivocal to death.
Yes.
And I don't know what's up out here with this. So as far as like dating, or talking, what do you think that is? Do you think there's a difference, or like, where is your head at with that topic?
So when it comes to that, how I was looking at it, because a lot of people mentioned in the comments, they were like, oh, well, what if you just met that person and you're texting? Mm-hmm. Okay, that's fine. Then you guys are texting, you guys are getting to know each other. You wouldn't really give it a label. Mm-hmm. But I notice a lot of people, when they're mutually interested in someone and they're going out and doing things, they'll say they're talking to that person.
Yeah.
And I don't like that, because I feel like I've had people use the term talking against me in two different ways.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I've had one person say, oh, why are you getting so clingy? Like, we're just talking. And then I've had another person say, why are you hanging out with this guy? We're talking. Like, respect that. And I'm like, okay, well, clearly a lot of people have different ideas of what talking
is. Yes.
That is so true.
It creates this barrier of communication, or am I saying that right? It creates this this like miscommunication and confusion, and then people get stuck in the talking stage because they think the next step is to get a relationship. And I think it's almost, when you pass a certain age, it's almost disrespectful to say, oh, we were just talking, because to me, we were a little bit more than just talking, you know?
I feel like it's a very umbrella term.
It is.
For a lot of things. Like, for some people, talking serious. For some people, it's, like, not so serious. And even the person who views different stages of talking, because apparently there's different stages of talking, too, they umbrella it, so you don't really know where you are. And I think that ambiguity is problematic.
It is.
And I think that's why people always feel the need to have that, what are we, conversation. Right.
Yes, because I think it perpetuates a lot of confusion.
Yeah.
And there's no real, like, definition or, like, actual stage of any kind. I think people make it whatever they want.
Yeah.
In order to like, fit what they want at the moment out of somebody.
Yes.
So it's kind of like, it's a little unfair, and when the person comes to you and asks you, like, well, what are we? What's going on? They have the right to know. You can't be mad at them to be like, whoa, 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 we just talking.
Right.
Like, hold on.
Yeah, or I just met you 2 weeks ago. Oh, we're talking seriously.
Yeah, like, why are you talking to anybody else?
Yeah.
That's kind of a jump. I'm not gonna lie. And then, see, I've never heard the other way around. I always hear people are afraid to call it anything more than talking because they're concerned that if they now give you another label, or they've added another label to your relationship, that's going to progress further than they can control.
Yeah.
The label scares a lot of people, and I actually read something that said our generation is very spoiled for choices. So we have the world at our fingertips through social media. We can literally contact anybody we want in the world. So a lot of people are now afraid to commit because they either feel like they're making the wrong choice or they feel like someone better will come along.
Yeah. True. Yeah, that is very true. That is 100% true. Like, people are afraid of commitment in those ways. Right. Like, because they're afraid of, as you said, limited choices. And they feel like, oh, you know, maybe hanging out with you would be okay, but I'm just talking to you. Meanwhile, I'll date this other person. Meanwhile, I'll have this other person. But when the right one comes along, I'll just take this. And it's kind of like, why do you get to juggle people around this way? Like, it again perpetuates this overlying confusion, and nobody knows really where to stand on things.
Yeah.
Like, they'll be like, you know, you ask them a question and they'll be like, you know, what are we? And then they go, you know, I'm just okay with how things are going right now.
Oh, Jesus.
The worst. That's like the kiss of death right there. Once
Thank you.
Die, it's over. It's done.
Yeah.
For real.
I think you should just already plan your exit when it's...
Thank you.
I really like things. Or, oh, my favorite. What is it? These things pop into my head and then just poof, leaves. they're like... we'll just see where it goes.
Yeah.
We'll just see where it goes.
And meanwhile, you've been talking to them. You guys have been going on dates. Things have been going well. And then they go, well, I like where things are right now. Let's just see where it goes. Excuse me?
Just heard that line.
We didn't know where it was going. Do you go... I always thought about this since I heard once. Do you go anywhere without a destination? You just walk aimlessly for fun?
Exactly.
Oh, wow.
Look at the seat.
Use that.
Good. Yes.
No, like, really think about it. You get in your car. Do you, like, it's so wasteful because it's like, do you get in your car, turn on the ignition, and then say, I don't know where I'm going. Let's just wing it.
That's true. You wasted gas.
You wasted gas.
You wasted time.
And patience. Why are we doing this?
Exactly.
Like, at least, even if you don't know exactly what destination you want, but at least be honest
with
it.
Right.
Ballpark it. Like, for what you want, not necessarily what you want with that person. Because what you want may not fit. So, if you feel like, okay, I'm in a headspace where I don't want a relationship, you don't want a relationship. Point blank. That's just where it is.
Exactly.
If you're in a ballpark where I eventually want a relationship, then... that would be what you say. Eventually, I'd like a relationship. But if that person's not who you want a relationship with, be honest. I don't see us going there. And then let them make their decisions from that point on.
Yep. So how long can you say that people are in the talking phase until it's considered dating?
Well, I don't think we've defined talking yet. So, like, are we saying... I feel like we should come to a general consensus. Do you think the way talk... is talking just preliminary?
Yes.
Okay, so talking's preliminary. That's before you've gone on dates.
Right. You're just kind of like texting, haven't really seen each other in person.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Texting can be completely different than how they are in person. And
that is
true. I've seen it and I'm like, oh, why did I, what?
Yeah.
Why are you so weird?
I also feel like the vibe's different too.
True.
Like when you're texting, it's so detached.
It is.
Especially me. Yeah. I hate texting.
Me too.
Like the last thing I want to ever do. And I sound, I just try to get to the point because I don't want to be doing it. You want to talk to me, call me. And I sound so bitchy when I text. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, you ask me something. Yes, this is what's going to happen. Oh, she doesn't want to talk right now. That's not true. I have a lot to say. I'm just not going to
write it all out.
That's a lot.
I prefer to talk on the phone too. Now, do you consider talking that also period? Would you then put in talking on the phone or FaceTiming?
Yeah, I guess. Well, maybe. Yeah.
Because
I feel like it depends.
Why?
I mean, I guess it's just like getting to know each other. But there is... I guess you could put that under the talking label. That would make sense.
Yeah, I would think so. Because especially if texting-wise, people are a little bit weird. I would then kind of transition from texting to FaceTime or talking on the phone to see kind of gauge where their personality is like outside of text messages, because I think text messages can be construed very easily.
Yes.
Just like how you can sound bitchy through text messages, but you're actually really nice. You
I sound like the biggest bitch on the face.
Me too. I put periods, and people have problem with periods at the end of text messages.
Oh, I hate that. And I'm like, wait, are they bad?
All the time. I get that all the time. People are just like, why are you so upset? I'm like, I'm not. I just like punctuation. I'm sorry.
I always, like, at the end of my sentences, every single one, I add an exclamation point. If it's down.
Oh my gosh.
She started doing... Danielle started doing that too. And she sounds so excited when she's talking. I'm like, relax.
It's because people...
I feel so bad just responding with, okay. So I'm like, okay.
Not gonna lie, that does make me feel better when it's at the end.
No, but you'll like text me things like, I'm going to the store, ! Why are you so excited to go to the store? Like, I get it.
It's because people keep telling me I sound so harsh with the periods. Yeah. So I add exclamation points after things to sound, you know, soften the blow.
Like a little emoji, a little smiley
face. There you go. There you go. Because you know how I usually say, like, I'm on my way? I've, like, had it pre-text on my phone to say, like, on my way with an exclamation point. That's probably what you're talking about. You're just like, okay, why are you so excited? Like, she's so excited to pick me up right now.
I don't know. Every single time I'm like, okay, relax. Okay, so talking clearly is, like, the preliminary stage.
Yes.
And that's interesting. Oh, sorry, I'm shaking this thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so talking is preliminary. Mm-hmm. Then dating is the consistency. So you're consistently going on dates. You're constantly talking on a regular basis.
Yes.
Yes.
We're consistently, you know, meeting up to do activities. Like if we're reaching out to each other to be like, hey, are you interested in doing this? Or even, you know, consistently talking to each other. Like, I'm definitely a person who likes a good morning text. I like it. It's just the way that I am. I don't know why. I like the good morning. I like to feel like I'm the first. Even if I'm not, you can pretend. I don't care. It could be a couple hours after you woke up. You brush your teeth. You talk to your mom. I don't care.
Yeah.
But in the morning realm, just give me a text.
Do you prefer, like, the just good morning text and then maybe you go on about your day? Or are you hoping a conversation starts after that?
Actually, I'm okay with good morning. Like, good morning, beautiful, or something like that. And I'll be like, oh my god, good morning. It's like, oh, what are you going to do today? Like, even little humdrum little conversation. I don't need contact throughout the entire day, because a lot of times I'm busy, and I'm not even near my phone. So, I can't hold up to that kind of, like, expectation. It hurts.
It would make me want to talk to you, though. Like, if you just... I don't think I get those anymore. I think I got them when
I think they've fallen off of the planet.
In high school, when I was dating, when I was in a relationship for 4 years, I still got those pretty consistently. Mm-hmm. But after that, I don't know.
Yeah, that's why my boyfriend's my boyfriend. He calls me every single morning.
He calls you every single hour.
Every single morning. Well, okay, listen.
But that's love.
That's love right there.
That's love.
It's love.
That's how he shows his love.
Every hour. Shut up.
Maybe not anymore, but like, homie used to be calling you.
Yeah, but that's
I was like, okay,
he
called you.
He wanted.
Yes, he did.
My boyfriend was not about the talking phase. He was not about that. He was like, meet me, dating. I was like, wait.
Hold on. Yeah, he's like, 3 dates, we're in a relationship.
Exactly. He knew what he wanted. That was the thing. And he made it a point so that I wasn't talking to anyone else. He was like my consistent thing that I was surrounded with. He was like coming over after work, calling me, to the point I was like, yo, what's up? What's wrong? What's going on?
You see, that makes me like kind of think of something. I feel like the fact that he knew what he wanted, there are less steps for him.
There were.
You know what I mean? Like, you know what you want, the less steps is going to be added.
Nah, I'm good. Like, I'm right here is where I'm at. So, for him, there was no real talking, whatever phase. We talked a little bit. We talked on the phone.
Yeah.
We texted because we met online and stuff like that. So, we talked a little bit. And then we transitioned to, like, the phone. Then he immediately FaceTimed me. And I was, like, shook. And I was like, whoa. I don't FaceTime like this. What's going on?
Wait. I love FaceTime.
Me too.
Everyone loves FaceTime. Danielle did not like FaceTime at the time. But there was a bit of a talking phase, but once we started going out on dates and he was investing time and money and, you know, his effort and stuff like that, he was kind of like...
He's like, nah, we're in a relationship
now. No, it took a while. It took a while.
It took a while for you because you're so goddamn stubborn.
Whatever. I needed to take my time. Okay.
He was ready after the third date. The fact that he said that to me, I was like, oh.
Okay.
That's so cute.
No, it is cute. It is cute. I can't lie.
Dream about.
And it's true. 2 years later, beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
That's interesting. Okay, so like dating in your experience, so like, okay, you're going out on dates. And this is a question for both of you guys.
Okay.
So you're going out on dates. At what point would you deem it one of those? Because I feel like dating is like you would have to kind of separate it. There's dating and then there's dating exclusively.
Okay.
But then I feel like if you're going to date exclusively, why are you
in a relationship? Basically, that's just being in a relationship.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I don't
believe
in dating exclusively without no boyfriend, girlfriend title. I don't care if everyone goes start screaming, oh my God, titles, titles, titles. I'm
why
sorry.
Why do we have to have titles?
If
call
we are
it
doing
it
the actual
right.
act of, then we are.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, the titles
right.
technically, they're for society, whatever. Like, I don't care about titles,
mm-hmm.
but for me, I need to know where we stand. I don't like gray areas. It's not where
right.
I live.
So we're going to call it what it is, dating without... Dating exclusively is a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Boom.
Right.
And then, obviously, relationship agreement. You guys have talked. Both of you are aware that you're in a relationship. Now one side. Interesting. So, like, okay, back to your question.
Yes.
What
is the length of time for the talking phase until it's considered dating for you, Katie?
For me, I think it really just depends on, like you said, consistency and what happens. Because I met a guy,
mm-hmm.
and I met a guy, say, like, on a Saturday. Mm-hmm. By that Thursday, we had already been talking every single day.
Mm-hmm.
He had spent a couple nights at my house already, and then... 2 weeks later, it's the same thing, like, consistency. So, at that point, I would have been like, we're not talking. We're dating at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, especially if you're staying at my house.
Exactly.
You using my toilet paper for more than 3 days? We dating.
Using my coffee mugs in the morning
Ooh.
For your coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're dating at this point.
Yeah,
to say that we're talking would be a bit of a slap in the face. To me,
exactly.
at least.
Exactly.
That would be a slap in the face. Like, for me, it definitely has to do with connection and vibes, for
yeah.
sure.
Right?
I hate vibes, but yes, vibes for sure. But like transitioning from the talking to where I feel like I'm dating you,
because mm-hmm.
I want to say, like I had said before, like 3 dates is where I'd say like we're dating after that.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say like after okay. the first date. I would say like 3 dates, but I can't say that for everyone. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
if we're connecting and if we're feeling mutual about certain things and I really feel a connection with you and we're feeling
yeah.
it mutually, then after 3 dates, I'd be like, all right, yeah, we're moving into dating, seeing kind of where this takes us and with a goal of being together.
Yeah, I agree.
In my mind, at least.
I also think that once you kind of display that you guys like each other, you have feelings.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
like, there's a mutual discussion about your feelings
mm-hmm.
and how you're feeling about each other.
Yeah.
And you're hanging out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially more than a month, bro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At
yeah.
some point, you gotta just be honest
yeah.
with
right.
the fact that, yeah, we're dating.
Yes.
Now, it doesn't...
Yeah.
Dating doesn't mean... You're shackled to me.
Exactly.
Because even being married doesn't mean you're shackled to me.
These days.
So, like, but
yeah.
dating is very, like, I did agree when you were saying how it's so heavy right now. It
mm-hmm.
is. Like, it shouldn't be
yes, a heavy word.
So stressful. I don't even think a relationship should be so stressful, but
no.
it is to some people.
Well, yeah, true,
yeah.
true.
But I think it is
they
to some people.
Shouldn't
it shouldn't.
Have to
it
be.
Should be something you're looking forward to if you're
exactly.
making a mutual agreement.
Exactly.
Right.
Same with your dating. If you already
mm-hmm.
feel shackled in the dating phase, do you really want to be with that person?
Exactly. It means that they're kind of either you're placing yourself on those kind of expectations
yeah.
or they're doing the same to you. And if you're not comfortable with that, then there's no point.
That is true. And,
right.
like, you kind of you have to reevaluate why
mm-hmm.
it is you feel so shackled. It may not even be the person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It may just be a you thing.
Yeah. True.
Well, now, I think some people, a lot of people in relationships feel really shackled because I have a couple friends who are like, yeah, I mean, we just were doing this for so long that he basically came up to me and said, we're in a relationship. So now I guess we're in a relationship. And it's kind of like, wait, what?
Oh,
like,
okay.
So you didn't even have the talk. Someone just said, like, you guys are a thing.
Thank you.
Don't see other people. And
Thank
then
you.
Some people just feel stuck.
Yeah, I totally understand what you're saying. And
yeah.
I feel like a lot of people do that. They're just, like, kind of, like, date until it transitions by itself. And I'm
yeah.
like, wait, what? Like,
right.
I'm big on someone. Like, all my boyfriends that I've had, they've asked me to be their girlfriend.
I think that's so
Because I like those things.
I think that's adorable.
The last time that happened to me was, like, 7th grade.
Like, I need that conversation. Like, I'm making the decision to be exclusive
yeah.
and be with you. And you're making the decision to be... I want it clear. Crystal, I said, I don't like gray areas. Black, white, that's it. That's
yeah.
just... I like to know. I like the confirmation. I think it's weird when people just kind of transition into, oh, we're in a relationship. It's been a year now. Huh?
Right.
Because sometimes... you could be a year into thinking you're in a relationship. You're the other person is just like, oh, we're just talking for a year.
Yeah.
For a year.
See, that would be me, though. Like,
what?
Well, I'm pretty clear in terms of if you don't tell me that we're in, like, if you don't talk to me about wanting to be in a relationship, I'm single. I'm single too.
Yeah.
And I will, if that's you look at me and you're, and then you think that we weren't, I'm like,
who gave you that idea?
When did we talk?
Exactly.
Right.
I think there needs to be a conversation because there's no such thing as being stuck. Yeah. You're never stuck anywhere.
I also think people are kind of afraid of talking about it just in case the person doesn't want that.
But you can't be afraid of rejection.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. If that ain't me.
Really? Why, what makes you like so afraid to bring it up?
Because I think that's where my logic comes in, and kind of in the back of my head, it was like, you know they don't want a relationship. You know they're just going to hit you with that, well, I like how things are going right now, so I just don't bring it up for as long as possible.
Is that to preserve, like, what you're gaining out of the relationship there?
Right. It's ignorance is bliss.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Kind of like, if I don't know about it, like, I'm just going to pretend maybe that this is what they want because they haven't come right out and said that's not what they want.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of did the same thing at some point. Yeah. Yeah. I definitely did that at some point where I kind of convinced myself that it was kind of just to preserve my sanity because it was finals week in college and I was going through a major breakup and I was like, I'm not going through a mental breakdown now. We're going to convince ourselves we're still in a relationship, even though we're not. It was a bad thing to do, but in all honesty, I just needed to do it.
You needed it for survival.
Yeah, but I can't lie that I was in that position as well where I was afraid to like say anything or come to terms with it because I was like, yeah, ignorance is bliss. Like, if I just tell myself, like, yeah, we're still doing this, there's hope, blah, 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 then I can get through whatever I was getting through and still get out of the relationship what I needed. Yeah. You know?
I did the same thing. I feel like I only did it... No, I didn't do it for long, though. Because, again, I think I like to just put it out there and, like, run away. So, like, I was just... Boom! Bye! I have feelings for you. Now I'm out.
Like,
so
do you ever send those text messages and then you go and take a shower just to try?
Yes,
to-
yes.
I
definitely have done that. I like put my phone down, put it under a pillow, go do something. Like,
do not disturb, so I can't tell. Like, oh, they could be texting me, but I'm not getting a notification.
Oh my god!
I think the one time I can remember doing this where. Cause I have a friend who's pretty good with like, do things for yourself. If you're going to do it because you want a reaction out of someone, don't do it.
Yeah.
If you're doing it for yourself, then at least you can kind of own it.
Yeah.
So this guy I really liked. I liked him. I thought he was chill. I wasn't supposed to like him cause that wasn't like where my head was at, but oh well, I ended up liking him and I think I just like shot the gun in person and I was just like, yeah, I may have feelings for you. And
she's dying.
I was just like, yeah, I may have feelings for you. Did not hear what I wanted, of course.
Not of course. It could have went either way.
No, I had no hope in that one.
Oh, okay.
I had no hope in that one, but like I just did it for myself for it to be out there.
No, understandable.
And then if it didn't work out, I kind of was just like, okay.
Yeah.
I was ready for that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
If it didn't work out, then... But it stung. Like, it stung deep.
Of course.
But now, I don't regret it.
See?
Now, I can say I don't regret it, because if I had continued, I would have probably developed deeper feelings.
Yeah, and then been lying to yourself.
And lying to myself. Not just lying to myself, but, like, developing deeper feelings for nothing.
Yeah.
Right.
And that would have been worse.
Yes.
That's, like, worse to come back from. For
true.
Me, because I'm like an emotional baby. I'm like the most non-emotional baby.
I get attached, so if I'm to the point of attached, I'm like a leech. Where
it's
am I
over
going?
For me. it's over for me.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad. And like, now that I'm thinking about it, I definitely had a conversation with an ex of mine at one point. And I remember him referring back to the dating and talking thing. He made a statement saying that if he's taking a girl out on a date, he expects that because he spent time and money and effort, he should be getting something in return at the end of the night.
Sir, you can see yourself out.
I mean, at this time, he was already my man, so I was very confused. I was like, that's not what happened, but okay, like... Where are you getting this from?
You're not using my toilet paper today.
But I was like, kind of like, why? Like, what is this mentality that you need to be getting something out of taking a girl out on a date? You asked me out on this date. You are the one who said, I'm going to put this money. You chose the restaurant out of everything. Now you're going to tell me I owe you something at the end of this?
Right. But have you ever been in the other position where... they may not have said anything, but you felt like you owed it to them.
Well,
I've been in that position.
Yeah, a little bit. Like, you feel bit, like... Yeah. I don't think any... I know a lot of people have this idea that women just, like, go on dates for free food, which some
see,
do.
That's the thing.
Some do. It's possible. But, like, they feel like we just use them. That feeling's not cool. Like,
no.
And they just feel like you're using them, so you're just like, oh, man... Am I busting it open for somebody tonight?
Yeah,
kind of thing.
Why
but like,
can't
I
you...
shouldn't feel obligated just because
you
took
me out.
But my thing is, why can't you just
unless
show appreciation? You don't have to show appreciation by opening your legs.
That's true.
You know what I mean? You can show appreciation by showing him, yes, I like you. Yes, you know, you know, I hand on the shoulder or engaging with him and making him feel like what he's doing is great. Like, you know, like, granted, it's like the bare minimum, but still, like, making him feel like good. For the fact that he's doing that, you know what I mean? Engaging with him, showing him that you like him, like just being there. He should be, you know, glorified by your presence, first of all. But the fact that you're even there, you shaved your legs, you wore makeup.
I have to pluck my eyebrows and get waxed for this.
Exactly. Exactly.
The things we do that go unnoticed.
Exactly. And it's just like, now you want me to put out because you sat down for dinner, ate food too, and paid for it? Okay.
When I'm on a date, if I'm not really, if it's a first date and I wasn't crazy about it and I really don't see there being a second one, I offer to split the bill. I'm like, listen, we can split it. Like, you're not, don't come to me and say I owe you anything or I should at least take you home with me, you know?
Yeah, and if you're like, I have a question, so if you're interested in the guy, will you still split the bill?
I've done that before, or I've gone to movies and I'm like, okay, you pay for the tickets, I'll pay for the food, because the food is just as expensive. So I'm very like, I get if you're the one who asked me out, then it's expected that you pay.
Yes.
But I don't want anyone to feel like they have to. Because if we're making the same amount of money and you're struggling just as much as I am, I'm going to split the bill. Because sometimes we don't have money to go out like that, you know? So I just prefer to split everything so I never feel like I owe somebody something.
That's true. But my uncle always says, if you don't have money to take a girl out on a date, why are you asking her out?
Exactly.
I get that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I literally had to learn how to sit on my hands.
I know. We used to tell her that
because
all the time.
I would be paying for dates a lot more than often.
Asked.
And it was... And I was asked to pay. And, like, literally this one guy, I went on a date with him. After spending the whole date just talking about himself and how he was a mechanic, like, I don't care. Our bill was, what, $45? He throws down a 20 and goes, oh, you got the rest, right? And I was just like,
oh,
okay. Mind you, I drove us there. Okay. Throws...
That's like-
Disrespectful. Oh my God. Like, I couldn't. I was like, the audacity. Like, I'm not saying, like, oh, you have to pay for the date, but you literally throw down a 20 and then tell me, oh, yeah, you got this, right? Excuse me? No. No.
I had something similar, except I was in a relationship with this fella. And we worked at, I was a server at a restaurant. He was a cook at a restaurant. And I remember one day I had finished with the table and I was walking to the back and I was counting my tips so he could see the money in my hand. He was like, yo, give me a five for a box of cigarettes. And I said, no, I have bills to pay. I'm not going to give you a five for some cigarettes. And he was like, what? You have all this money? I'm just asking for a five. You can't give this to me. And I'm like, all right, this, I'm kind of over this relationship because I'm working hard for my money.
Yeah.
More than you does not mean I owe you. you know, what you're to make up for it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Especially by cigs. Like, what? Yeah. Like, really? Exactly. If you needed it to, like, pay for something for your mom, like, maybe I would be a little bit more gracious. But or if for you, a pack of cigs, like,
if you asked me in a nicer way, yo, yeah. give me a five?
Wait. No.
Now, the understanding, okay, so, like, talking face clearly shouldn't be that long.
No.
Right.
If we're going to call it what it is, a talking phase where you're getting to know each other, I don't think it should be that long unless maybe you have region restrictions.
Yeah.
Like you're in a different state.
True.
I think, or online dating or something like that, wherever you're comfortable. Mm-hmm. But it stops once you're consistently talking, feelings, things, all that stuff are in there.
Mm-hmm.
Dating. Right. Boom. Now, do you think, how do you feel about the phrase, I'm okay with where we are right now? Or what are we?
It's basically a trap. I just did a video of this with my council, my little people, and I see it as a red flag, because that basically means they're just going to string you along until something better comes along or until they get bored of you. It's never going to go anywhere. They're most likely never going to commit.
Because
I've had that line been told to me so many times, and I'm just like, ugh, all
right. Yep. And to me, it signifies like you have no idea what you want right now. Yeah. Not a clue. Right. You have no idea. And I'm not going to be there in the waiting area for you to figure it out.
Yeah.
That's not for me.
But you see, even if a person doesn't know where they are, if you can verbalize that to me, I think I would be, especially if I don't know what I want.
Because
again, it's both people, we're both making a decision here.
True.
Especially if I don't know where I want, if you can verbalize that to me, I can respect that more than you leaving it open just so that you can make a decision.
Yeah.
And I don't have space to make my own.
Yeah.
Right.
Where it's like almost they have all the control on the entire thing. Meanwhile, it's two people.
Right. And you're just kind of sitting there waiting, like, are you ready now? Are you ready now?
Exactly.
Are we there yet? Because how long, you know, what's the timeline?
When do
you think you'll know?
Exactly.
You know?
And that's a gray area that I'm not comfortable in. Even if I didn't know where I wanted to be, I would just not even be with anyone at this time and space. Like, if I don't know what I want, then there's no reason for me to be inviting all these people into my life.
Yeah.
I don't need it. I have enough friends.
I think I would be able to just respect it, but
no,
I wouldn't continue to invest my time.
Yes.
I would kind of wait for you to figure out what you want.
Yeah.
And if you've been honest with me this entire time, you just don't know where you are, then, you know, you don't know where you are, but I won't continue to invest my time for someone who doesn't.
Yeah.
That would be my biggest issue.
I agree.
Now, what do you think has happened to millennials, to Gen Z in terms of dating? Because Danielle's 28. I'm 23.
Mm-hmm. So I'm a millennial. She's a Gen Z, right?
Yeah. I'm Gen Z.
Yeah, you're a Gen Z. I'm a millennial.
So...
I don't think there was a lot of changes, because remember, we're talking like late 80s, early 90s, kind of into the 2000s, no, into the 90s for millennials.
Yeah.
So I feel like dating or talking we used to call it hanging out.
Yeah.
It's basically the same thing.
So air quotes, wasting time.
It's another term. Like, we're just hanging out. We never used to call it we're talking. We're hanging out. I'm hanging out with this guy. I'm hanging out with this dude.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Or I'm hanging out with this girl. But I feel like from millennial to Gen Z, I feel like relationship-wise has either been glorified to the point of perfection.
Yeah.
Or...
what do you call them? My one true pair.
No, OTP.
Couple goals.
Those kind of things.
Oh, yeah.
It's been glorified to that point, or in the other way, where people are completely terrified of it.
Yeah.
Terrified.
Right.
To the point that if you say relationship, they literally gag physically.
Yeah.
And I'm just like,
and it makes sense with what Katie said earlier. It's the choices.
Yeah.
Like, because there's so many choices out there, you're so stressed with making the right choice.
Yeah.
Instead of the right, just whatever choice is right for you.
At that time, you don't know what's going to happen with this person. You are not a psychic.
Yeah.
You have no idea. Right. And I think it's the uncertainty that makes them scared. I don't know. I think I'm not sure if it's the uncertainty or the fact that they feel like they're missing out on something else. Because they're here with this person. Then if you feel that way, don't be in a relationship with this person. If that's the way you feel about it, don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know. I feel like it's a number change. Thing.
I don't know. When I was growing, when you were, I'm saying I don't know a lot. I felt like when you were growing up, your life always seemed so glamorous with the dating. Obviously, I didn't know anything. I didn't know what was going on. But it just seemed like, okay, you talk, you date, boyfriend, girlfriend, if that's where it goes, or it just didn't work out. Now I think like situationships are on a rise.
And it's because of the fear of commitment.
Yeah.
They don't really commit down to anything, just like she was saying with the choices. They want to feel like this is the right choice when you cannot strive for perfection in somebody when you're not perfect yourself.
But what started this confusion?
I honestly
have so much to say.
Okay, go ahead, girl. We chat, so we gotta, you gotta let us know. Go ahead.
There are so many different reasons why relationships have changed so much over the course of a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
So I want to start off with, there's a lot of pressure for us to find a relationship. So now you're either in one of two things. You're either terrified of it or you're actively looking for it. And there's a lot of pressure because you want those relationship goals. You want to be able to show on social media, look at me, look at what my boyfriend just bought me. Look at this, look at that, look at where he surprised me for a date tonight. So there's this pressure that maybe if someone doesn't do those things that you're seeing on social media, are they good enough? Are they the right boyfriend for me? And then our parents are giving us pressure because our parents are like, listen, I was married by 18. I was married by 21. What are you doing? And we're just like, well, it's not that easy. You don't understand. And they're like, how is it not that easy? You should just go out and find a man. Things are a little different these days.
They don't want to be found.
A lot of them, even if they are even if they are like the nice guy, I feel like there's a lot of guys out there that portray themselves as nice guys, but actually are not nice guys.
Yeah.
Especially if you have to say, like, I'm a nice guy.
You're probably not a nice guy.
Yeah.
I think the nice guy complex is just...
It's very weird.
They
switch on you quick.
That's a conversation for another day.
Yes, but...
But...
I definitely do agree that it's gotten to the point of so much pressure to be in a relationship and to be there, especially by parents and by the standards of like marriage have kind of been dumbed down because of that. They want that marriage, that super beautiful, perfect marriage. And there's that pressure to like be married, have kids, do this and have a career. Like it's a lot.
Right.
Now, do you think there's more pressure on us as women or do you think it's on
both sides?
Really? Okay. That's what I was curious about.
I have two different points to this because once you get to a certain age, say my sister is 30 and all of her friends are either engaged, married, or having kids.
Okay.
She feels like she's behind. She feels like there's something wrong with her. You know, she's a little like, well, why aren't I married yet? And it's because now, like I said before, our parents were getting married at such a younger age. So there's this like kind of invisible timeline that people don't talk about, but it's kind of there. Like, oh, I should be married by this time.
It's like an internal clock.
And also, I feel like there's not a lot of pressure because back in the day, women were getting married because they couldn't support themselves on their own. So they had to, they had no choice. If they wanted to move out of their parents' house, they had to marry someone so they can live on their own because the man was the one with the job and the women were homemakers. But now women are able to support themselves, so they're not as quick to marry someone because now it's like, well, what can you give me that I'm not giving myself besides a good night, you know?
And even
I can give that to myself still.
Exactly. Yes. That
technology
is
on our side.
Technology is on our side. The fact that we're working now is on our side. And I do feel like that's a thing in itself. Like it's hard to be independent and then try to then invite someone in and be kind of dependent on them. I feel like that's an uncomfortable place for me because it's exactly what you said, like, what can you do for me that I can't do for myself already? You know what I mean? So I feel like there is kind of that not being pressured into marriage, which is why women now are getting married so much later.
Right.
But do you feel like there's still that kind of pressure because of the biological clock, especially with kids and stuff like that?
Yeah
100%.
See, I think the biological clock is a thing, but I definitely have seen women get children and all that stuff a little later in life.
True, but then you also know about the people who go into menopause at 40.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's like...
But you never know what you're going to get.
You don't. It's kind of a toss-up. Like, I know someone who went into menopause at like 36.
You can have menopause at the age that I'm right now.
True.
You can have menopause as early as 21.
Yeah.
So you kind of never know what you can get.
Exactly. You just gotta be lucky with, you know, whatever egg drops at that time. Gotta be like, are you still coming?
And it's crazy because like people pop Plan B like it's nothing, and then they're very concerned about possibly having kids at some point.
That's true.
Wow, that's quite the complex we have as women. Now, do you think that this the fact that women are not as inclined to want a relationship so early that it's made men lazy?
No, I think it's made men scared, and it's a little intimidating and almost emasculating.
Really?
Yes, yeah. I feel like all the guys that I've dated in the past, especially my last one, they're all still living with their parents. And there's nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing wrong with that, because it's very hard to find a job right now. Especially even with a college degree, it's damn near impossible to find a job. But I got lucky. I was able to find a nice little apartment. I live on my own. And I feel like when guys come over and see that, it's a little intimidating, because even they're thinking, well, what can I give to her that she's not already giving to herself? And I feel like men are a little afraid to get into relationships because they feel like they should be making more money. They should be the breadwinner. They see these guys buying their girlfriends cars and Louis bags, and they're like, well, I can't give that to her. So do I even want to be in a relationship?
Yeah, but then in turn, does that man quite understand A, his self-worth and what he can also bring to the table outside of just monetary and producer type of things? Because I feel like that's a very old way of thinking that men have, like, I need to be the provider, and I need to provide for this. And it's like, but there's so many other things you can bring to a relationship besides being the provider.
Yeah.
As long as you have goals to get there at some point, fine. But it's not like the main thing someone needs. I think it's a little insulting to sit there and be like, well, what can I give her that I can't? Like, nothing. Just be yourself. Like, I don't understand. Why are you insulting yourself and me? Like, you're saying that, like, I can't have these things and you must walk into my life and give me things? Like, no.
Right. I get that.
See, I think that this is going to be a time I play devil's advocate. That's fine. But I think I can understand a guy who feels like they want to be able to provide, or they want to be on their partner's level. And I think at that point, I wouldn't disrespect my partner or feel the need to be intimidated, but more so drive myself to be better.
That
to
I understand.
Now either reach their level or surpass them, depending on whatever my goals are.
Which I understand, but to the point, to feel intimidated to the point of no longer being in a relationship is what I mean. Like, that's where I'm like, why should that be an issue? Why do you feel so hurt by that? I know it's because of what society's been telling you, how you grew up and stuff like that, but if you're not willing to do that self-growth we were talking about, you know what I mean? Like, you need to come to the realization that there are things that you can provide outside of that in a relationship.
That is also true. But I also do feel that as a dude or as a guy who is going after a woman, some women can be quite disrespectful. I don't think their egos can handle that. I don't think their pride can handle a woman telling them that they're less than because they can't provide. And they're also, like, our generation is raised by that mindset. So all they do know is that I'm a guy, I'm strong, I provide, I fix things, like whatever it is their mentality was growing up. Like, their need to provide is something, it's ingrained in them because they were raised. Even if they don't, they're the kind of guy who wants a girl to split the bill or whatever. I think at some point, they do feel like I should be able to bring something to the table.
True.
Just like on the flip side, if I'm a girl, I want a guy that has, that brings something to the table.
Of course.
You don't need to be like millionaire buying me things, but like, you need to bring something, and you need to have goals, you need to have something that I see has potential. Not just potential, like potential with a goal. We'll say that. I wouldn't bank on potential, but
that,
like,
is true.
Potential with a goal.
Because even my boyfriend, he used to do security before he started working in the hospital like he does now. And when he would go on dates with women, or even people he would be around, they'd be like, oh, you're never going to get a woman. You're never going to get this. Or even women tell him, like, oh, you don't do nothing but this. or, you know, you don't have a nice enough car, and, like, he would be just sitting there, like, this is what I'm doing everything in my power to make you happy, and on top of that, it's not making you happy enough, so I can understand what you're saying, where, on the flip side, there are women out there that are pretty fucking nasty about that kind of stuff.
And that's true. And I think if they are intimidated at all, it's just... in a way, they kind of feel like you deserve better. Mm-hmm. Whether or not you agree with how they're going about it, but I think a part of them is, like, basically telling you, you deserve better than what I can provide you and what I think you are worth more.
Okay.
So, I would just take it in that. Like, I know guys or people, I don't want to say guys, I know people don't have a good handle on how they express themselves or communicate, but if I ever saw that someone felt the slightest intimidated, okay, I would just, you probably need to work on some you things, but I value that you think I'm worth more than you can give me. That's not.
But then again, there are people who use that as an excuse, too.
Well, they can be out. You can kick them out. They can be out.
That's true.
If you're using it as an excuse, that's one thing, but, then I don't want you. It's worse. You have nothing to provide and you don't know what you want. You can you can get to step in. Now, do you think that dating has been downgraded to talking to lessen the importance of it?
So it doesn't seem as intense? Sure. For sure. Because I feel like men and women, I feel some type of pressure when it comes down to dating that they need to be at some point either in emotionally or physically, they need to be in some like way in order to be dating efficiently. And I think it's this also striving for perfection or one person striving for perfection. The other one's kind of doing the bare minimum and they're just kind of like missing each other at every step. So I feel like it's gotten downgraded to the point of like, oh, we're just talking to keep it very loosey-goosey. So there's no pressure on anything. Because I feel like both parties can feel some type of pressure and be like, oh, I'm backing down. This is too much pressure. And it's like, when did it become this? How did it get here? Yeah.
It's definitely different because I think no one... it's so weird because I've even had it happen to myself where I'll be... I guess, dating a guy, talking to a guy, whatever you want to call it. And it's getting pretty serious. And then we switch to that boyfriend-girlfriend role. And I kind of get anxiety. And I'm like, well, should I act different? Should I be texting them more? Like, should we be using little cute pet names? Like, why do I feel like there's a pressure to now I have to act a certain way or act differently? So that's sometimes I do avoid that label because I'm just like, well, I don't know what it is that I'm supposed to be doing with that label, if that makes sense.
I totally get that. I totally get that. And I feel like that's where people put a lot of pressure on themselves. And I feel like if you're dating this person, they liked you as you were before. Now that you have a title, it doesn't change who you were or how you act. They liked you already. You know what I mean? Yeah. So you don't need to change much at this point. Besides, at least for me, besides being like committed. And yeah, there might be a little bit more communication, but I kind of like to let the person come to me with that and be like, oh, I kind of want to talk to you more, or they call me more. Do you know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't then put that pressure on myself because it's like, or for them to do it to themselves. It's like, we can communicate. We're in a relationship. We can talk. Like, it's okay. We can be friends too. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we are together, but we can be friends too. It's fine. You know?
I think that is interesting because I've heard guys tell me that they, like my guy friends say that they don't want to date because when they put that label out there or they transfer it, women turn into something else.
And they also expect a lot from guys as well. They're like, well, we're officially dating. Where's that picture of me on Instagram? I'm waiting.
Or they start going through your friends list and telling you what girls you need to delete. Or going through and being like, who's this bitch? Who's
I'll
that
be completely
bitch? Who's
honest,
that? I mean, I don't do that shit.
I don't do it either. But they probably already have that list. They just wanted to make sure you know they have that list.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
It's all that... I end up on a random... conversations with people on Instagram all the time. People I don't even know. And I end up talking to this guy about a onion metaphor. Like, people are onions.
Yeah.
And
like...
Kinda
like Shrek. Okay.
Oh,
that's where it's from. That's where it's from.
Wow. I thought I was so philosophical about this. I didn't remember that. But I was like, people are like onions. As you peel them, it makes you cry. Like, the more you know about them, the more you kind of feel for them.
Okay.
And I feel like
people see
onions. Was that in Shrek? Because if it was in Shrek, my subconscious is really messing with me lately.
He basically kind of said the same thing. Like, Shrek was just like, ogres are like onions. We have layers. You need to peel back the layers to get to know it. Something along the lines of that, yes.
Yeah.
That's kind of where Shrek was at with that.
And I thought I was Shrek Victor was Frankel.
Shrek was deep.
Clearly. Well, whatever. Okay, the onion reference, I felt like I was new.
But you can adopt it here. Yeah.
They're like onions. Like, as you peel away the layers, they make you cry. And I think the layers part, that person mentioned to me that they feel like they can't be 100% themselves. When they meet someone, because they don't really know who they're dealing with.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, you kind of have to treat people like onions. As you peel away the layers, or feel safe to peel away the layers, you're hoping that they do the same. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people have this front of how they should act when you're in the dating, talking stage, because you don't want the person to go away. You're never truly your honest self from the start. So then that pressure to, like, now that you're with them, you've gotten to your goal, you kind of, like, oh, is what I was doing good? Should I be doing more?
Yeah, but then at that point, shouldn't you have just been yourself from
the jump? Yeah, you should have been yourself from the jump. You know what I mean?
Like, you should have been yourself from the beginning, because then you place that pressure kind of on yourself to be this thing that, not that you're not, but something that you felt you needed to be in order to be with this person. And if someone gave you that impression that you needed to be a certain type of person, why are you there in the first place?
Right.
True.
You know?
But it's not even the impression. I think you can get caught in wanting to be perfect for somebody.
Yeah.
Because if you let them see your flaws and you let them see, like, the negative, that concern of you not being what they want is there. You gotta throw it out the window, but it's there. And, like,
that's very true.
I think for me, like, I've just always been a person that's, I have a very open book. Like, maybe not about my feelings, but about my personality. Okay. I don't kind of, I'm not a layered, I'm layered in personality-wise. No, I feel like personality-wise, I'm not layered. Like, you'll get my full personality right from the jump.
Yeah.
You won't know my true feelings about anything, but you will get my personality. I'm not going to hide anything from me. I'm not going to act a different way. Like, I am me. That is it. You're, this is what you're going to get. Here it is on the table. What you want to do with it? Let's talk. You know what I mean? Like, so for me, I feel like I'm not really much of an onion, and, like, I don't feel like I have to put a facade, because if I'm going into the mindset of being in a relationship with somebody, why would I want to give them some kind of impression of perfection when that's not me? I'm not perfect. Right. I know that. You know what I mean? Like, I have a lot of things wrong with me.
I'm more likely to tell you that.
You know what I mean? Like, why am I going to hide all that for you to find out later and be like, oh my God.
What I
do. I'm letting you know from the jump. What it is. You can't complain after that.
That's very true.
Are you an onion?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I really don't think so. I'm, like Danielle said, I'm very much an open book. I just let it all out. I love when people ask me questions, try to get to know me, ask about, like, my childhood and stuff like that. Like, I'll tell everything.
Same here. I'm the same way. And a lot of times when I was, like, dating and stuff like that, when people didn't ask me those questions, I'm like, but who even are you? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't really want to talk to you. You're not even asking me questions about myself to figure me out. I'm like, I'm there. You know, I can be a personality. But, like, if you're not asking me, like, about my childhood and I can tell you my whole life story, like, nah, I don't like that. Like, you can get to step in.
It's the superficiality of it all.
Yeah, there is a little bit of it,
Yeah. That is crazy.
What?
I thought I was a genius.
You're still on Shrek?
Yes.
I'm so sorry. I didn't mean
you
to.
You crushed that for me, OD.
I'm so sorry.
It's fine. I guess I'll cry. You got into my center. No, I guess I'm an onion.
I think you are an onion.
I'm an onion.
She's an onion.
I'm a total onion. It's not that I'm hiding anything from myself.
I don't think being layered is hiding.
You're just a bit more private.
Yeah.
Yeah. But again, if you ask me something, like, if you actually ask me, I won't lie to you.
Of course not.
Right.
But if you never ask me, I won't volunteer information either.
Me neither. I'm not a volunteer, but if you ask me the right questions, I'll let you know.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I get that.
Now, with this dating, I feel like, you know, we've gotten into a couple situations. Do you think that dating is fun? Like, when you were dating. Like, right now. Do you think dating's fun for you, Katie? Or, like, where...
I think it's exciting. Mm-hmm. It can be exciting, and it's always fun, like, when you get that text message and they're like, oh, let's go out tonight, like, I can't wait to see you, and you kind of feel like you're giving the same energy that they're giving back. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, this is so exciting, this is fun. Mm-hmm. But it also creates a lot of anxiety for me because I'm just like, wow, I'm just counting down the days until they ghost me, because it most likely will, because it always happens. I always get ghosted. Sorry. And so I just... it's kind of like this ongoing battle, like, I'm trying to enjoy the moment, mm-hmm. but I know it's going to come to an end eventually, because it usually always does.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a lot of pressure.
That is a lot of pressure.
Yeah. Now, but, do you think it stops, because I know you said that you're pretty much an open book, do you think it stops you from sharing?
No, I still share everything. I just put it right out in the open, because I'm like, hey, this is me, if you don't like it, I'd leave now.
Yeah. I kind of understand what she's saying, just because I feel like when I was dating, like, that's kind of was my mindset about it, too. It's like, yeah, we're having fun now, but it's kind of like, all right, what are you going to do to fuck this up, bro? Like, what are you going to do? Like, I've really only been officially ghosted, like, maybe once or twice. Other than that, I was probably, like, the one to be like, this is just not going to work out. Because as I went on dating so much, like, I knew what was going to work for me and what's not going to work for me. Mm-hmm. And if I saw myself in a situation where I could be in a situationship and I can see how easily I could fall into that, I would immediately just be like, nah, I'm good. Like, we could stop right here, because I know exactly where this is headed. Do you know what I mean? But it was fun to some extent. But it does get a little bit tiring after a while, because I would have to take breaks. Like, I would go on, like, a couple dates, meet new people and stuff like that, but I would have to take breaks because it just gets so humdrum sometimes to the point of just like, what's the point? Like, you know, but it can be still fun and lighthearted, and I wish you can go back to being that way or be more fun and lighthearted, just to get to know people and make different kind of connections, instead of placing all this pressure on ourselves to be a certain way, to act a certain way, to not get this kind of reaction, to get this kind of reaction. Da, da, da. I just wish it would just be like two people sitting down, enjoying time together.
And being honest. You
know? Yeah. And being honest with each other and just, you know, making it fun again. Like, I feel like people put so much pressure on it to the point where it's just like not even enjoyable anymore.
That is
true. I get that 100%.
I'm a dating newbie. I haven't dated much, so, like, I'm kind of listening to you guys, and I have not dated much, I'll be honest. If I do, it end up going on for so long.
You talk to like one person and it's like, okay, I'm talking.
We're dating now. But I have not been ghosted yet, but I feel like it will come.
I mean, like, there was, like, I feel like either I was the ghoster at some point, because, like, some people are just doing stupid shit, like, blatantly dumb stuff that, like, you almost were pushing me away. In a sense, like, instead of having a conversation, to the point where, like, I couldn't even talk to them to have a conversation.
It would just
to say, let's break up or whatever. It wouldn't even be a fight. They would just ignore me. And I'm just like, warp. So, you know what? I'm going to do the ghosting.
I think I might be the ghoster.
Yeah.
I think I'm the ghoster. If you're not being ghosted, you're probably the one ghosting.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
No, not necessarily. Not I've definitely had a conversation like, this is not going to work out.
Not if I've developed something with somebody.
Of course.
If I've liked you at some point, I'll give you that respect and tell you.
But that's the thing with ghosting. It's so disrespectful. Because that happened to me once.
It's so disrespectful. It's cowardly.
It is. Yes. It happened to me once with someone that I was really engaging with, to the point they met my family. Kind of on accident, but it's still. They met my family. We were having kind of a conversation about, like, what are we now? And he kind of gave me the whole, I'm okay with where we're at type thing.
Right.
And I was just kind of like, okay, like, I guess. You know what I mean? A little naive at that point, but it's fine.
Yeah.
And I think, like, maybe a week later, disappeared off the, all vanished. Mind you, we talked every single day up until that
That's
day.
That's so disrespectful.
And the fact that we built something, the fact that, you know, whatever. And then, there was a lot, but he eventually ended up ghosting the crap out of me to the faded into nothingness, as if we didn't just spend 3 months hanging out, we didn't spend 3 months dating, meeting my family, hanging out with me all the time. It's rude. It's actually rude.
I have a question. Do you guys ever know when it's about to happen, or just
no? It was just.
There's different types of ghosting, kind of get the vibe. So you have, like, the first one she said, where it's just kind of Casper, like, just completely gone, blocked off of every social media. And that's, like, a clean cut, like, okay, I was just ghosted.
Yep.
And then you have what I usually get, which is they go from texting you every day to maybe texting you every other day, and they're slowly pulling back, hoping that you're the one that'll kind of walk away from the situation. So they're giving you less attention, and they're very short.
Yes.
That is so...
Or you have the manipulative, yeah, I think this works, manipulating ghoster who will ghost you for like a week, and then they come back because they realize, oh, I'm bored. Yep. And they hit you with, oh, I'm so sorry, like, I was busy, it was a rough week. It wasn't a rough week, they just didn't want to talk to you. And now they're back, and now you are so happy that they're back that you just don't even question it. Yep. You're just like, okay, yeah, sure. Yep. I wasn't thinking about this all week, not at all.
I know exactly. Yo, those two scenarios have happened to me too.
Are you dead ass?
Yes. This guy did it to me twice. Yeah. I let him do it twice. It was shame on me. But he did it to me twice, and they were 3 months apart. It wasn't a week. 3 months. Our first date. It was a great first date. We like hit it off. We had a great connection, kind of, I think we could. Whatever. We had a great connection in my head. And the next day, dropped off the face of the earth for 3 months. Then came back 3 months later and was just like, yo, he was Dominican. So he came to me and he was like, my mom in the Dominican Republic, we had a lot of issues, XYZ. And I was just like, okay, like, maybe we could try again. And sure enough, 3 months went by again, heard nothing from him, came back 3 months later. And I was just like, at that point, I was just like, what game are you playing at? And he was just like, what do you mean? And I'm like, what game are you playing out here? You disappear for 3 months and then you act like nothing's wrong. What's the problem with you? Then he gave me this whole sob story, of course, and I believed it.
I believed it.
And then eventually I ended up ghosting him. So.
Yes.
I guess revenge story there. After the second time, I was like, you know what? That's shame on me. Third time, no. No.
I don't know how anybody can do that. Because I think, okay, so we did this challenge. It's probably going to be a future podcast for online dating. I never did it before. Mm-hmm. Danielle said, I can't have an opinion on it unless I've tried it.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I would try it for a month and I'm out. Mm-hmm. Like, I won't do it anymore. And I think there was one person I talked to, and I was like, it was a lot of texting. Again, not really loving the texting part, but I forgot that I was talking to them because it wasn't pivotal to me in the week. Yeah. So I completely forgot. It's not that I didn't want to talk to them. I just forgot completely. 4 days passed by. I couldn't myself to go and text them because I was like, if it were me and someone forgot about me for 4 days after I sent them a long ass paragraph, I would be like, why are you talking to me?
True.
So I wouldn't do it. 3 months? I would have left you alone.
He knew he could do it, I guess. He's done it before. I have no idea.
That's brave.
That was brave. That's brave. I even had a breakup where after he broke up with me and I broke up with him, it was very weird. Mm-hmm. That was a very weird relationship. But afterwards, well, first of all, leading up to it, that week, he stopped talking to me all week.
Yeah.
And I was very confused because I'm like, what happened? Because nothing happened. He just stopped talking to me all of a sudden. And then he was like, oh, I need to see you this day. I'm like, okay. He comes to me.
You said okay?
No, he was like, I need to see you this day. Because I was done with it too. I wanted to break up. So he meets me and he's like, oh, I'm going to break up with you. You know, like, I don't think it's going to work out. And I was like, you know what? It hasn't been working out for me too. Afterwards, he tells me, don't hurt me.
Oh, is this?
Yes.
Oh,
he tells me, don't hurt me. Because he was Caucasian and he had a very negative outlook on black women. And immediately after telling me he doesn't want to be with me anymore, he says, don't hurt me. And I was like, you know what? I've been thinking about this too. I do want to end this as well.
Yeah.
Tell me how afterwards he blocked me on every single thing, wouldn't talk to me, wouldn't answer. So I was ghosted after being broken up. I was like, okay, sir. All right. I see how you're doing this. Rude. At least he had the balls to break up with me. I guess that was it. But
he like,
yeah, sometimes they just, I don't know, the people who get ghosted in actual like relationships.
Yeah, that's a little
that's,
wild.
Ooh, that's
was
hurt.
It was wild. It didn't hurt much because I was over it, but yeah. I was still kind of shocked. I was like, what did I do to you?
Excuse me? He was ready to be out. That's funny.
Whatever.
Okay, so now that we've discussed what talking versus dating.
Yes.
What is, like, where are we all? Because I'm more confused every single time I talk about this.
Yeah.
But I'll just say talking is not long.
Yeah.
That's what I can say. Mm-hmm. And dating is kind of what you make it.
Right. And I think it just comes down to whoever is talking or whatever. Whoever, it's relative. It's not a universal term.
Yeah.
I think it's very relative to the person about what talking is, what dating is, what relationship is, apparently. Yeah. But definitely talking and dating, I think it's relative to the person. Because I think we spoke to one person, they said talking comes after dating. And I was like, what?
Whoa.
Yeah. I was just like, huh? Like, you go out on a date, but then you continue to talk to them afterwards. And I'm like, that's a little confusing. But it is what it is.
Yeah. Before we, like, talk to you, we tried to get every generation and every gender, like, just so we can, like, really think about our questions.
Mm-hmm.
And it is different for everybody.
Everybody.
Everybody has a different form for it. So I think I just got to the point where I was like, all I can say is you probably need to talk about this really early on.
Yeah.
Like,
what does talking mean to you? What does dating mean to you?
Mm-hmm.
And if you tell me you're going to be talking to me after 3 months, hold on.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm shaking the table.
Oh, I'm sorry. if you're going to tell me you're talking to me after we've been dating for a year and a half, or we've been interacting for a year and a half, having sex, spending a lot of time together,
And then you're gonna tell me we're talking, we have a problem.
Yes, we have a big problem.
Yeah, right. But what about for you, Katie? Where's your head at the end of
all of these?
I think definitely after a certain amount of time, I would say maybe like 2-3 weeks, I could even push it to a month, we're no longer talking.
Yeah,
like do not disrespect me by saying we're talking.
Yeah, at the point of dating. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I completely agree. Like, I definitely think the same thing. Yeah.
Do you think you're going to ask guys when you first talk to them if, what are your thoughts on talking versus dating?
Most likely, I'll definitely ask them. But I'm sure that would scare them away. Because I'll say I dated this guy, but he still says we talked. And I'm like, I'm going around telling everyone we dated. So I don't care what you have to say.
Well, if he, like, it gets scared, at least he weeded out a weak one early on.
That's very true. That's very true. That's what I believe in, weeding out the weak ones early. That's why, even when I was online dating, like, I used to say, like, they asked me, like, what do you want? Or whatever. Like, why are you on the site? And I'm just like, I'm dating, seeing it where it goes. That's what I used to say.
Yeah.
Now, well, not now, but when I was looking for, like, a relationship, I would be just honest, like, I'm looking for a relationship. All of a sudden, everyone's like, whoa,
yeah.
Relationship, wow, okay, bye, get to stepping. You're not what I'm looking for then. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
I don't need an explanation. You're not going to convince me otherwise. So, you know, you vet out the ones that are not serious at that point.
Very true.
Talking.
Just looking for talking. No.
Can we have sex? We're talking, boy. I don't do that when I talk. Okay, so usually at the end of our episodes, we kind of have a question of the day. Sometimes we have our guest ask the people who listen the question. Do you happen to have a question on this topic that you'd want to ask?
Yeah.
I can't really think of anything like specific.
Okay.
Okay.
Or like really like thought provoking at the moment.
That's fine. our question, just in case like we put you on the spot and you didn't have one. What do you consider talking and dating?
Yeah.
Like if you really were to listen to this, what is talking to you?
Yeah.
And what is dating to you? And if they're the same, elaborate.
Yes.
That would. Yeah. I would love to know because the amount of minds out there that have something different to say about something else is phenomenal. But I loved having you as a guest.
This was so fun.
Thank you guys so much. This was fun.
No problem.
And I'm going to stop the recording now. So guys, listen to us next time.
Yes.
We are going to tag her hilarious TikTok handle in the description because she must be listened to.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
She makes my day every day.
I know.
Every time I see a new video.
I know. But thank you guys for listening. And thank you, Katie, for joining us. Yeah. We will definitely see you guys next time.